Sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting lights out.
Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Shooting Lights Out here on this Monday, February 23rd, 2026. That is right. Your boy is riding solo today. And if I do say so myself, we should be all right. Cole Jones is still doing some things. He should be back around tournament time as we get ready for the NCAA tournament, which after what took place this weekend in college basketball, oh yeah, you can feel the horizon of March and the madness is being felt. So, I don't know, man. It's getting real. It is getting real out here for these college teams. The NBA started their second act, so now they are gearing towards their postseason and the playoffs, which should begin, I believe, in May. Okay, so we're on the road to that. Got a little WNBA to talk about as well. Also, the fourth edition of Contender and Bree Tender is going to take us to the Big 12 conference for both the men and the women. So should be interesting to do all that. But before we get started, thank you for watching. If you're watching on the Playmakers Network YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button, hit my notification bell. If you're watching on my personal Darnell Playmaker Silence LinkedIn page, thank you for tuning in. Connect with me on LinkedIn and then slide over to the Playmakers Network YouTube channel and subscribe and hit that notification and subscribe button. Dustin, what's up, man? Solo show. Crazy that March Madness around the corner. Yes. Going solo right now. Cole Jones, he'll be back around. He'll be back around in time for March Madness. I just talked to him today. He'll be back around March Madness. He had to take some time off for some personal things. So yeah, I'll be solo for some time until Cole Johnson comes back. But I got it. I started off solo, so I should be good to go. If anybody loves the audio version, want to listen to the podcast version of Shooting Lights Out, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and wherever else you can listen to podcasts, just type in Shooting Lights Out. We should pop right on up, and you can listen to us on the go as you probably get a workout in. You're on your way to work, or you're taking care of some business. You don't have time to watch the video. You want to listen to what I'm saying, take it on the go with you. So, but all that being said, we're going to jump right into it and go around the hardwood. As we hit the around the hardwood segment, I appreciate it, Dustin. Dustin says, yeah, you a pro, man. Appreciate it, man. Hey, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. So as we hit around the hardwood, first order of business, go to the NBA, and Lakers unveiled statue of legendary former coach Pat Riley. He was in attendance last night for the Lakers in the Celtics game, which will be part of my fast break in the next segment. But we unveiled a statue for the legendary coach Pat Riley for the first time in history. That's when we get to the right one. Legendary coach Pat Riley was honored with a statue outside of Crypto.com Arena on Sunday, and the near 8-foot-tall, 510-pound bronze within features of the famously styled Riley in his preferred attire, a General Amari suit. The Hall of Fame coach, who is currently the Miami Heat's team president and lastly on the sideline in 2008 after 24 seasons in L.A., the Knicks, and the Heat, said he would still be wearing suits if he was still coaching today. Pat Riley said, quote, "I wish he went back to coats and ties. I think an audience wants to see somebody on the sideline who looks like a leader, dresses like a leader, and acts like a leader." Close quote. The statue depicting Riley holding his fists up in the air the Showtime Lakers signal to have Magic Johnson pass the ball to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for his signature skyhook throughout the 1980s. Immortalizing his fashion sense with the coach in not only in the Armani suit, but also crocodile leather belt. Pat Miley was made of style, should I say. Ryder coached the Lakers from 1981 to 1990 and won four championships in 1982, 1985, 87, and 88. The last coming after his famously guaranteed a repeat title at the 87's championship parade. He is the eighth Laker with a statue on Star Plaza, joining Elgin Baylor, Kobe Bryant, Chick Haney, Shaquille O'Neal, Jerry West, Magic Johnson, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Pat Riley was a great coach. I got to see him coach Dwayne Wade, Shaquille O'Neal, and the Miami Heat to the 2006 championship. That was the style that he took with him when he was coaching the LA Lakers back then and the New York Knicks then. I believe he won a championship with the New York Knicks as well. So Pat Riley was that guy, man, when he was rolling the sidelines. He deserved that statue. If you're going to put Magic Johnson, give Magic Johnson a statue, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar a statue, why not give the coach that was part of it, the Showtime Lakers, a statue? So great job to the Lakers organization for recognizing one of the greatest coaches to coach in the franchise history and in the NBA, or giving Mr. Pat Riley a statue, which is very much appreciated, and we do salute and notch. Says, scratching his own, close to my neck of the woods, Pat's a dapper dude. He sure was. He was definitely a dapper dude. And it's good to see greatness being celebrated while they're still here and not waiting till a tragic passing happens. So it's nice to see Pat Riley get his flowers while he's still around with us all today. From there, from the NBA to the WNBA, because now the UN has spoke out as the CBA negotiations are still going on for a new collective bargaining agreement that can get us into the next season in the WNBA, which, if I'm being completely honest, is looking farther and farther away. All right, here we go. For the first time in history, the WNBA generated enough revenue in 2025 to trigger revenue sharing with his players, UN leadership told ESPN on Sunday. UN leaders said the leagues notified players' leadership early this month that they hit the benchmark. The 13 teams will receive a total of $8 million from the league to spare amongst players, the UN said. The Women's National Basketball Players Association declined to provide bank statements. The amount of revenue generated by the league or the number required to target revenue sharing. The WNBA declined to comment on payments on Monday. The revenue target in 2020 CBA was based on 2019 revenue numbers and compounded by 20% across subsequent years. The COVID-19 pandemic depressed revenue in the 2020s and the 21 season, seemingly making the cumulative targets out of reach. The announcement by the UN comes amid contentious negotiations between the league and the players for a new CBA. Revenue sharing and salary continues to be sticking points. The WNBPA president, Breonna Turner, told ESPN, saying, quote, "This shows our value and how what we're fighting for makes sense and how we should keep fighting," close quote. Under the 2020 CBA, players will receive 50% of shared revenue, defining the CBA as the amount of revenue over a predetermined threshold minus 30% for expense. In 2025, the players' portion of shared revenue amounted to about $16 million, according to the UN. Of that, $8 million will be paid to players who were active in 2025. As mandatory by the CBA, the other half, the other $8 million, that is, will be allocated to the league's marketing agreements which are off-season incentives offered to some players to promote the league and its partners. Union leaders also said on Sunday that they will be dividing up $9.25 million to players for licensing revenue generated since 2020 for jersey sales, trading cards, video games, and other merchandise. The union expects to share that money by June 1st. Now, those of you who don't remember, the negotiation of the new collective bargaining agreement, which should begin this season, if we can get a season in, are ongoing. The players' latest proposal would give the players 27.5% of gross revenue over the course of the agreement, along with a salary cap of less than $9.5 million in year one. While the league's latest proposal would give the players 70% of the net revenue over the lifetime of the deal and a $5.65 million salary cap in year one. So we have the players want 27.5% of the gross revenue with a salary cap around $9.5 million. The league, on the other hand, they want to give the players 70% of the net revenue, meaning after expenses and taxes and all that is taken out. Whatever's left of that, the players get 70% of that. And then the salary cap is around $5.65 million. That is a salary cap difference of $3.85 million, people. So the interesting question is, which side do you root for in this predicament? To be honest, I think both sides are being too facetious right now. I think both sides are being too honed in on what they want. But that's expected from the owners because they're the owners and they are very tight-knit with their money, shall I say? If I can put it in the proper professional terms. I've said this, and Cole Johnson has said this. Dustin, if you have anything you want to say about this negotiation in the WNBA, feel free to put it in the chat. But here, I'm going to say this again to my ladies. You need a season this year. You cannot afford a lockout or a strike this season. You're just starting to generate some real life interest in women's basketball. You really are honed in on this revenue sharing and salary cap. What you have to do, though, you have to take it one step at a time. You cannot think about the now. This is not a sprint. Treat this as Stephen A. said that he's on the screen here. Treat this as a marathon, not a sprint. Meaning, take a favorable spot now, because you're not going to get it. You're not getting everything. The owners are not going to give you everything. Okay, it is not like you've been existing for 30 years and all 30 years you've been profitable. That is not the case. You've been profitable for what? The last two seasons. That is not enough for these owners. This is not enough for these business people who've been in this type of business and other businesses for quite some time. So they know they are not going to jump to quick success that fast. That is not going to happen with these owners. You have to give them time to see that their money is being multiplied enough so they can say, you know what? You held up your end of the bargain. You did what you said you was going to do. Now we can actually give a whole lot more. 2 years, not enough. Most owners and most business people, they need about at least 5. So you need to give them at least 3 to 4 more years of the league being profitable before you come down and say, hey, this is what we need. We ain't taking nothing less. You can't do that now, ladies. You can't sit here and go for everything right now, and that's where you are messing up at. You can't get everything now. You have to chop it off bit by bit by bit. Take the 27.5 gross, take the 70% of the net revenue, but tell the owners, say, hey, instead of 5.65 million for salary cap, make it 7 or 6.5. There you go. You make it 6.5, you'll get somewhere. You take the 70% of the net revenue for three to four years. That's it, 3 to 4 years. That way, these owners and the league owners, they can see, oh yeah, we really are maintaining profits now. We are really generating a lot more revenue. This is actually sustainable. 2 years doesn't tell you you're sustainable. It doesn't happen in 2 years. Sustainability is over time. Profitability is over time. Y'all didn't have enough time in the positive category yet, ladies. That's all I'm saying. Get more positives and get you some more positives in the category, and then you can let the ownership and the league know. Now y'all need to cough up the money like you're supposed to now, because you have the correct amount of data that you need to say, all right, we have a league that is really profitable now. And we can now come back to the negotiating table and we can give you more. But you can't get it now, ladies. You can't get it now. There's no way to get it now. Not after 2 seasons. It's not. There's no way. So this is what I'll do. Take the 70% of the net revenue. Tell the owners. $6.5 to $7 million salary cap. And let's go from there. 6.5 to 7. You're meeting in the middle. That's what it is. You're meeting in the middle on the salary cap. Give the owners what they want. When you say we're going to meet in the middle on the salary cap, we're going to go from there. Now, as far as housing and all that other stuff, y'all can figure that part out. But y'all main sticking point is revenue sharing and salary cap. $6.5 million on salary cap. Take the 70% of the net revenue. You want to take me for about 3-4 years. Not long. It's not but three, four seasons. You do that, I guarantee you, when them numbers come back and the lead is still profitable and is more profitable than it's ever been, then you can flip the script on them. All right. Y'all can give us 40% of the gross revenue now. This is like three, four years down the road. 40% of the gross revenue, 45% of the gross revenue. Let's get the salary cap up to 10 million. Done. Because guess what? You have the numbers to back it up. The numbers are there to back it up. And you can go, bam. So by the time you get to 2030, woo, the WNBA should be in a different position that it's been in. The world is watching the WNBA by 2030. It's like, oh, this league is rocking now. But if you keep going like this, all that momentum's gonna go away, and you're never gonna get there. You're going to basically put yourself back at the starting point all over again. You do not want that. So let's get to a middle ground here. Let's get a season going. That way, by the time 2030 gets here, you have more room to negotiate, ladies. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You got to think ahead. Not for the now, you got to think ahead. So that's what I got. Dustin says, 100%, a lockout will stop any momentum of the league game over the last 2 seasons. What y'all gonna put on the court for the next 3 to 4 seasons will be undeniable. But if you have a lockout, if you have a strike, all that's gone. All of it. And that's how I'm going to end Around the Hardwood. All right, we're going to take our first short commercial break here. Then when we come back, we're going to run the fast break, because what a weekend it was for basketball.
Join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kermit the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green. And the Jets wore green. That's how I become a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan, say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. On YouTube and where you can find all podcasts.
That's right. Let me shout out to my brothers, you know, Dustin Henry and Ryan McCarthy. You know, the credentials were kind. You get ready to catch them 2 days a week. I do believe they actually record on Tuesdays now. So Tuesdays and Saturdays, especially for their brunch. If I didn't have to work in the mornings, I would catch more Saturday brunches with no conditions of cry. But since I work Saturday mornings, I can't catch them like I want to. But hey, Ryan and Dustin, they do a great job. Football, a little bit of basketball, hockey, baseball, even sports movies. They cover a wide range of stuff in any world of sports, and they do a good job, man. Hope Dustin finally is. I think Dustin, are you still on cloud nine from that Super Bowl win for the Seahawks? Just wanted to ask that. I know that man's been celebrating another Super Bowl championship for the Seattle Seahawks, and deservedly so. They were they finished off being the best team in the league. So. But that being said, we do have a weekend to recap in the world of basketball. Let's get it.
This guy is showing.
Rebound by Adams, who's sixth. Moran, loaded by Primo. Attack.
I was right. Tuesday nights and Saturday mornings for no conditions required. So go ahead, hit them up, listen to them. You'll get a variety of stuff on them too, guys. And I had the pleasure of being part of the show one good time. Looking forward to being on a future episode coming up. Don't know when, but I will be on one coming up soon. Just got to get rid of Dustin and Ryan and figure out which day we're going to do that. Knowing Ryan, we might somewhere close to either March Madness or the NBA playoffs. Know how that goes, breaking those down. So, and yes, the NFC West going to be very interesting next year, especially with the Super Bowl being in my house. So, let's get to the fast break here. And we're going to begin in the NCAA men's side of basketball. We're going back to Friday. Purdue took down their arch rival, Indiana, 93-64. Big win for Purdue. For rivalry purposes, with bragging rights. Indiana, y'all on thin ice, Indiana. Y'all, matter of fact, while I'm thinking about it, let me go to ESPN. I want to go to Jordan Elodie's bracketology here. Because last I checked, Indiana, they were floating on the bubble line of getting into the NCAA tournament. But the fact they cannot get a signature win under their belt, They might be on the outside looking in now. So Joe Lenardi last updated this on right before the weekend. So as I'm looking at it, I don't see any. Nope. Currently, as before this weekend, Jordan Lenardi had them as a 9 seed in the NCAA tournament. I wonder how big that's going to change when he updates that, because in the end, they just cannot get a signature win. For whatever reason, they can't get a signature win under their belt. Then we go off to Saturday. It was a big day Saturday, man. Saturday was a huge day. Virginia took down Miami. 14-ranked Virginia took down Miami, 86-83. Kansas got upset at home by Cincinnati by 16. That is not a typo, ladies and gentlemen. The Cincinnati Bearcats went to Allen Fieldhouse and took down the A-Frank Jayhawks 84-68. I was stunned when I heard it. I was like, I can't believe this is happening, but it's happening. I'll get in more into the Kansas Jayhawks a little later. Speaking of upsets and big rivalry wins, the Tennessee Volunteers, they got a much-needed win as they went to Nashville and they took down 19th-ranked Vanderbilt Commodores 69-65. Vanderbilt had their opportunities. They had their chances, and they could not convert, and Tennessee did. That's why it was a four-point loss for the Commodores instead of a win for the Commodores, and Tennessee got to leave Nashville with bragging rights and feeling a little more confidence about themselves as they trying to get back into a good graces to get a good seed in the NCAA tournament. Speaking of the NCAA tournament, the UConn Husk, the fifth-ranked UConn Husk, they handled business in Philly against Villanova 73-63. The Huskies pulled away from the Wildcats in the second half. Speaking of upsets, UCLA took down the 10th-ranked Polynala of Illinois, 95-94 in overtime. A furious, and I do mean furious, comeback win for the UCLA Bruins. Illinois, that's a real disappointing loss for you guys. And it's disappointing not only because you're a top 10 team and you lost to an underrated team, but it's more disappointing because you had this team down. I believe this team came back from a record-setting deficit to beat y'all, which is something that is very alarming for me, as Illinois is known for their defensive identity, and somehow your defense didn't finish the job. In the second half, you got forced into overtime, and UCLA caught you. It's very disappointing. I'm going to go back and reread this stuff from ESPN real quick and make sure that my facts are straight. Dent's late layup in OT lifts UCLA past number 10, Illinois 95-94 after a 23-point comeback. Y'all was up 23, Illinois, and you let UCLA come back and take you down. That is very disappointing. The Bruins rallied from a 23 first half deficit. You was outscored by 24 in the second half in overtime. Illinois, that's not good. Yeah. But you know what? There's days when you just have these days. And unfortunately for the final nine, this is one of those you shouldn't have had. But on the UCLA side, that gives them a chance because they are the last four in. That deficit should push them to probably the last four buys at this point. That's a big win. That is a quad one win for the UCLA Bruins. So they should go from the last four in to the last four buys after that win, which is good for them. The 23rd ranked BYU, they handled. And I do mean they handled 6th ranked Illinois at home down in Provo, Utah, 79-69. Big win for BYU without their star player in Richie Saunders. Like, it's good to see them bounce back and get a big win like that. That would definitely put them in the field. Definitely put them in, probably in that top six seed. Let me see. Joe Lenoir had BYU before that game. Where was BYU? As I look for BYU currently. BYU was currently a 6 seed before this game, before this weekend. Now, they probably going to move up to a 5 seed now. Maybe a 5 seed now. And then on Sunday, on the 22nd, on yesterday, 15-ranked Michigan State, they took down Ohio State at home in East Lansing, 66-60. And Wisconsin, they handled business at home as well over Iowa, 84-71. But we have two spotlight games. If you read the show notes before the game, you already know what the two are. We had two top four matchups. First one was the number fourth ranked Arizona Wildcats. They were in Houston to take on the second ranked Cougars. And without Cole Pete, their star freshman player, Arizona handled business against you against Houston. Houston, they just found this up down. They tried to come back and they was down some more. And they tried to come. Houston just could never find their footing on their home court. Arizona beat them to every loose ball, every 50-50 ball, rebounding, whatever you want to call it. Arizona was winning those battles. And that's why they walked out of Houston with a 7-point win. Anthony Delasoyo for the Cardinals coming off the bench with 22 points, 3 rebounds, 4 steals. What a game by him. He was not a guy that you thought would be that deadly, but he was against the Houston Cougars. And that's another scary thought for a team that got to go against Arizona now, because now that they, whenever they do get Cole Pete back, you still got Bradley as your offensive runner and that point guard. And then you have Delasoyo coming off the bench and he doing this. It's going to be hard to knock off Arizona, but they was knocked off twice before this game. So they got a bounce back win, a much needed bounce back win at that. It's going to be hard. And then we head to Washington, D.C., where it's the third-ranked Michigan Wolverines and the number one – well, that's the number one team in Michigan against the third-ranked team in Duke Blue Devils before then, before today's results. Cameron Brewster, he just keep pushing Duke along. 18 points, 10 boards, 7 assists. Duke, they got with Michigan. Want to know how you beat Michigan? You keep Michigan off the offensive boards. Duke was keeping Michigan off the offensive board. They was not getting them offensive rebounds and kick out for threes. That's how they beat the brakes off Purdue, by the way. If those of you who are wondering how did Purdue could lay a finger on Michigan, because they couldn't rebound. Duke can rebound. And when Duke rebounded, you kept Michigan off the offensive glass. So there's no kick out for threes, and Duke handled business. You want to beat Michigan? You battle on the boards. You gotta. If you don't battle on the boards against Michigan, you would get run out the building. You have to be able to rebound against Michigan. Duke did that, and they got the dub. So now Duke becomes the number one team in the land after this win. It was a great win. A very great win by the Blue Devils. That's the men's side. It's set up to the ladies. Ladies had some games. I'm going back to Saturday for the ladies, and 19th ranked the West Virginia Mountaineers. They took down Oklahoma State 72-40. Colorado got a big win over 20th ranked Texas Tech 75-68. That's a big win for the Colorado ladies. That could put them in a for sure spot for the NCAA tournament. As I let me slide over to the ladies bracketology here. Gotta keep up with all this stuff. And it's fun though. Let's go to yesterday. A big field day yesterday. As I look here, let me see what Colorado was at before the weekend began. Where did Charlie Crean had Colorado? Charlie Crean had Colorado in the 12th spot in a playing spot. So we'll see if that still stays like that after that big time quad one win over Texas Tech. Yesterday's action. Woo-hoo, boy. South Carolina continues to be South Carolina, the third-ranked Gamecocks. They hosted Ole Miss, and they beat the brace off of Ole Miss, 85-48. I would say that's a typo, but I watched it with my own eyes on yesterday, so I know that's not a typo. They literally dominated Ole Miss, and there was nothing Ole Miss can do about it. Virginia, a couple of ACC upsets coming up. Virginia upset at 8th-ranked Louisville, and that was in Louisville, by the way, 74-72. And then the 9th-ranked Blue Devils, who won 17 straight, did not lose in ACC play until Clemson came walking into Cameron Indoor and knocked them off. Actually, no. Duke traveled to Clemson. I'm sorry. Louisville got beat at home. Duke got beat on the road. Clemson got a big win at home over Duke, giving Duke their first ACC loss of the season and snapping a 17-game winning streak for the Blue Devils. So that's a big win. And the funny thing is, the team that Colorado was supposed to be in the playing with was Clemson. So I can see both of them moving up, especially Clemson. That is a top 10 win on their resume. So that should move them up, probably most likely out of the toss, but they could probably get a 10 seed at this point with that big win. Ohio State, they took care of business against USC 88-83. The 11th ranked Sooners of Oklahoma, they took down 21st ranked Tennessee 193, as this is the first time in the Lady Volunteers history when they lost 7 out of 9 games. And this continued slide of the Tennessee Volunteers is getting more and more astounding by each game. Kim Caldwell, she probably has said something that we all know about, but she probably is going to regret, because this team cannot all of a sudden get over this hump. They can't get out of their own way. And with them cannot get out of their own way, they continue to lose games after games after games. When you get beat by Texas A&M at home, and Texas A&M is nowhere near a tournament team, that is a problem. There could be changes coming to the Lady Vols. I'm just throwing that. I'm not saying anything certain. I'm just saying it could be some changes coming, especially at the coaching position, because this team, they cannot get out of their own way all of a sudden. They cannot get out of their own way all of a sudden, and now they are not even ranked. Give you a future update. They're not even ranked no more. When is the last time you seen a Tennessee team not ranked? Tennessee Lady Volunteers not in the top 25. That's how bad it has gotten in Knoxville, Tennessee, right about now. Moving, sticking to the SEC. The 5th ranked Vanderbilt Commodores, they took down 16th ranked Kentucky 81-79. What a game back and forth. Kentucky jumped out to a 10-point lead, and the Vanderbilt came storming back, and then it was back and forth from that point forward until Vanderbilt made their free throws and Kentucky turned the ball over. That's the difference in the game. You forced Vanderbilt to make free throws, but Kentucky couldn't take care of the ball. They turned it over. And that's how Vanderbilt can leave their own home with a 2-point victory over Kentucky. Also, another game that I watched a lot of basketball this weekend. I watched a lot of basketball. I did get to see the 12th ranked Horned Frogs of TCU take down Iowa State 80-73. Big one. Olivia Miles had a great game. But TCU is fortunate to win this game. TCU is very fortunate to win this game. Iowa State had two different points in this game where they were controlling TCU. At one point, they had a 12-point lead in the first half. And then in the second half, they had a 13-14-point lead in the second half. And Iowa State couldn't keep neither one of them, to the point where TCU was able to come back twice from the deficits in this game and take down the Cyclones in this one. So it's kind of troublesome for the Cyclones of Iowa State, because they can't finish games. And those of you who are March Madness fans like I am, we all know if you can't finish games in March Madness, you be on the other side of a thrilling finish. And you do not want to be on the other side of a thrilling finish. So before that weekend, before this game took place, Iowa State was a 9 seed. They still might be a 9 seed. They could drop to a 10 seed. We'll see how things play out. But if you think about Colorado taking down 20th ranked Texas Tech, thinking about Clemson taking down 9th ranked Duke, Iowa State losing out the opportunity to take down 12th ranked TCU, I believe Colorado and Clemson should move up. Iowa State should slide down. So maybe Iowa State gets put in that 12th spot, in the playing spot. Wow. Colorado and Clemson, they move up to 11, maybe 10 seed. But, yeah, Iowa State, y'all had your chance, ladies. You didn't capitalize on it. You had the opportunity, and you didn't capitalize on it. You didn't. It is what it is. Michigan State, 18-ranked Spartans, they took down 23rd-ranked Minnesota 75-61. Good win for the Lady Spartans as they continue to roll and get better and get right. But there's one game on the Lady side that I wanted to focus on. The Iowa Hawkeyes. They hosted Michigan on Sunday. And they was more physical than Michigan. They played a physical brand of basketball better than Michigan did, which is not something that I thought I would be saying in 2026. But that's what Iowa did. And I watched this game. Good job on Fox coverage. 62-44. Michigan looked like they didn't know what hit them. You can see by the second quarter, they got outscored 18-5. They got held to 5 points. I mean, they got held to 8 points in the second quarter. And then they try to make a comeback, whatnot, still down 7. And then you got held to 9 points. So, like, the two quarters that would matter most in basketball, if you was to say, hey, Playmaker, what two quarters matter most? Going into the half and the end of the game. So second quarter and fourth quarter. Both of those quarters, Iowa whooped Michigan's ass by a combined 35-17. And that's why you got the score that you did. Going into the half, Iowa dominated. Going to end the game, Iowa dominated. Ivy Harden, 24 points, 10 rebounds. She's the star of the show, but the entire Hawkeyes team. Every single player that touched the court for the Hawkeyes, they understood their job, their mission, and they completed it to perfection. Because when you can take the end of the half and you can dominate a Michigan team, who was ranked number 6, by the way? Iowa was number 11. Michigan was ranked 6. So they just didn't dominate any type of team. They dominate one of the top teams in the Big Ten. Iowa made a statement saying, I know how much y'all love UCLA and Michigan, but don't forget about us over here in Iowa, okay? I know we don't have Clayton and Clark no more, but we still a team to be reckoned with. And they proved it. They just fired out proved it. So shout out to the Lady Hawkeyes, man. Y'all put boots to asses to Michigan. I can't say it enough. Y'all put boots to asses to Michigan. Y'all put their foot up their ass, and you sent them back to Ann Arbor with a thumping. A good thumping, physically, mentally, and emotionally. I want to see how Michigan is going to recover from this one, but they got a thumping for real. And with that being said, that's a big win for Iowa. And I think currently, before the weekend started, I think it was a 3 seed. They might jump to it. Yeah, Iowa's a 3 seed. They might jump to a 2 seed now with that beating that they put on Michigan, because Michigan was coming in as a 2 seed, I believe. So that could change. That could change very quickly. So shout out to the Lady Hawkeyes. Good work. That's the college ranks. We're going to the professional ranks. Friday, Heat over the Hawks, 128-97. Cavaliers over the Hornets, 118-113. Wizards over the Pacers, 131-118. Grizzlies over the Jazz, 123-114. Timberwolves over the Mavericks, 122-111. Thunder over the Nets, 105-86. And Nuggets over the Trailblazers, 157. That is not a typo. They literally scored 157 points to 103. Portland, that's terrible that you get beat by 54 points. That is very terrible. Lucky for you, that's not my spotlight game from Friday. That would be the battle for LA. The Lakers over the Clippers, 125-122. Look at Doncic, 38 points, 6 boards, 11 assists. Austin Reeves is back, 29 points, 6 boards. They outdid a Kawhi Leonard who dropped 31, if I remember correctly, 39, 31, somewhere in that range. They outdid Kawhi to get that 3-point win. Big win for the Lakers. Not a good win, not a good loss for the Clippers, as both teams are fighting for a seeding position in the Western Conference. Most likely thinking OKC 1, San Antonio 2, Houston, Denver buying for 3 and 4, and then is everybody else. Minnesota should be the 5th seed, but let's see if they can get their act together. But outside of that, everybody else is fighting for all those spots. So Lakers trying to move up. Clippers trying to get out of the play-in spot, but that took a hit. So we'll see, but a lot more basketball to go. That's Friday. Let's go to Saturday. Heat over the Grizzlies, 136-120. Suns over the Magic, 113-110 in double overtime. If I had time, I would go off on y'all, but I don't have time. Spurs over the Kings, 139-122. Pelicans over the 76ers, 126-111. Pistons over the Bulls, 126-110. But Saturday spotlight for the NBA, the Knicks over the Rockets, 108-106. The Rockets had a double-digit lead. They let the Knicks come back and take it from them. If you don't believe, look at the fourth quarter. The Knicks outscored the Rockets 33-15. That is an 18-point difference, meaning the Rockets came into the fourth quarter with a 16-point lead. You got beat by 18 in the fourth quarter. Difference is you lost by two, 108 to 106. Carl Anthony Towns was the catalyst for this. 25.7, but it was his defense, by the way. His defense on Shingun to start it off in the fourth quarter. And then Jalen Brunson, OG and Anunoby, they got their offense going. They both chipped in with 20 points each to get that dub. So if you're looking at it, you're talking about 65 points from Carl Anthony Towns, Jalen Brunson, and OG and Anunoby to help pull the Knicks out of another home disappointment loss from Kevin Durant in the Houston Rockets. Good win for the Knicks. Wise, be happy. Cole Johnson, I'm sorry that your Rockets could not duplicate favoritism of Madison Square Garden for visitors. So I'm sorry about that. But shout out to the Knicks. They got themselves together. They got the job done. And we can move forward. That was Saturday. Let's go to yesterday, Sunday's action. Hawks over the Nets, 115 to 104. Raptors over the Bucks, 122 to 94. Warriors over the Nuggets, 128 to 117. Great three-point shooting for the Warriors without Steph Curry, without Jimmy Butler, without the known pieces. They put on a three-point show over the Nuggets, and they outdid Jokic's triple-double for a big-time win for them. Didn't expect that. Mavericks over the Pacers, 134 to 130. Hornets over the Wizards, 129 to 112. Celtics over the Lakers, 111 to 89. Yes, the Celtics dominated the Lakers on Pat Riley Day. Knicks over the Bulls, 105 to 99. Trailblazers over the Suns, 82 to 87. But the spotlight game for Sunday is for yesterday's action. Takes us to the first game of the day. We was in OKC on ABC, and they hosted the Cleveland Cavaliers. There was no Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. There was no Jalen Williams, or a.k.a. J-Dub, for this one. And, yes, the Cavaliers came out there, and they got their ass punched in the mouth. Again. Isaiah Joe led the way with 22 points, 5 steals. Kayson Wallace chipped in with 20 points, 4 rebounds, and 10 assists. OKC continues to chug along even without their star MVP. That is a scary thought, unless you're the San Antonio Spurs. Cleveland, on the other hand, James Harden played. Donovan Mitchell played. Evan Mobley played. Jared Allen played. You get my point. They was healthy. OKC was not. And OKC was beating that ass. I don't know how else to say it. But this time isn't a regular season, not the playoffs. But this is the things that we be looking at when it comes to the Cleveland Cavaliers and saying, these guys are not contenders. They're front runners. They want to look like contenders and have people believe they're contenders. But it's Cleveland. And stuff like this happens to them. A non-healthy OKC team. They don't have the MVP in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They don't have J-Dub. Matter of fact, they didn't even have Alex Caruso in this game. Now that I remember. They didn't even have another. I forgot my guy's name. They didn't have somebody else that was a starter for them. And yet they was able to come out here and kick the Cleveland Cavaliers' ass. Lucky it was in OKC because it was in Cleveland. It would have been worse. So, Cleveland, Kenny Atkinson, y'all need to do something because this is not – this is typically what people be talking about when it comes to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They look great. Yes, Donovan Mitchell. Now, you have James Harden. You still got Evan Mobley. You still got Jared. This team should be competing in the East, and then you come with the OKC and you get your ass whooped by an unhealthy OKC team. Get it together, Cleveland, because people are seeing through the BS. They don't believe in you. They might tell you they believe in you, but they really don't. They just wait for you to do what you always do. You get to the playoffs, and then you get dropped by a team that everybody's like, how you get dropped by them? Out of all teams in the world, they're not even supposed to be on your level, but you get dropped by them. Go ahead, Cleveland. Continue doing what you're doing. Continue doing what you're doing, man. And that will conclude the fast break.
That this guy is shown. Let me show up. James off the steal.
Rebound by Adams, who's sixth. Morant, blown by Primo. Attack.
commercial break here, and then it is the fourth installment, fourth edition, whatever you want to call it, of Contender or Pretender, taking a trip to the Big 12.
Join the transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the reformer of hooker whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the bronze car.
Whenever you are in distress, take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color of crayon they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to, I can beat up black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, 5... No, Pacific Time Zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. Oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
Everything Boston. I love you, you morons. You Kiss on the Block, New Edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Go f*** yourself again, Jason.
All right, welcome back. Now it's time for Contender or Pretender as we are moving on here. And this week's theme, the surge test, is late momentum real or misleading? The Kansas Jayhawks on the men's side, the TCU Lady Horned Frogs on the other side. When it comes to surge tests, the late season momentum can be dangerous or deception. In Contender or Pretender, we are asking whether recent success is sustainable when it comes to these teams when the lights get brighter. These two teams are trending up, but are they built for what is coming? However, I made a switch. I'm going to be transparent with y'all. It only one supposed to be the Kansas Jayhawks on the men's side. It's supposed to be Texas Tech. I made a change. I said, you know what? I'm going Kansas. I'm gonna stay in the conference, but I'm taking Kansas. I need to talk about the Kansas Jayhawks in this one. So that's where the switch comes. So, and plus, Texas Tech, they lost JT Toppin to an ACL injury, who was done for the season, which is a big blow to them. And I know that, but I want to see what Texas Tech can look like without JT Toppin before I can put them in a Contender or Pretender segment. So that's why I did the switch as well. But this is how we're going to do this. Late season momentum can make a team dangerous, but inconsistency can expose contenders just as fast. So we're asking a revised question for Contender or Pretender. Whether recent trends are signs of growth are warning signs before March. So we're going to start off with the men's side. This is what we at so far. As you can see here, Duke, Arizona, Michigan, UConn, Gonzaga, Florida, Iowa State, and Illinois are in the contender slot. Kentucky, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Texas, Virginia, Indiana, Auburn, Alabama, Louisville, Clemson, NC State, Iowa, and Tennessee, they are in the pretender category. And teams are still proving it. Vanderbilt having a great season, a magical season. We still want to see if they are for real. With Patino and the St. John's Red Storm, still proving it. We got to see them. We got to see you get there. Okay, Rick, I know you're a great coach. You did it with Louisville. You did it with other teams, but I need to see you get there with St. John's. You could have got there last year, but you stumbled before reaching the Elite Eight. Purdue, great team last year. up and down team this year. Still getting it together. So we're going to see about that. We already talked about Texas State. Want to see how they are without their star player and JT Toppin. Same thing goes with BYU. They don't have Richie Saunders for the rest of the year. So how do they adjust? You know, how do they adjust? Nebraska having a phenomenal season. Surprise. Vanderbilt and Nebraska are the surprising teams on the men's side of college basketball. But just because it's surprising, does it fit in March? That's the question. Houston, I got to see, man. I don't like what I saw when y'all played against Arizona. And then I like it. Like, y'all got punched. If there was a boxing, let me use a boxing analogy. If there was a boxing analogy, before the ref stopped the fight in the 11th round, y'all was still going to get beat anyway because Arizona had y'all beat. If you just take 11 rounds, we'll say the referee, before the referee stoppage, Arizona was winning that fight 8-3. That's how bad it was. It was 8-3. Y'all kept getting punched in the mouth by Arizona. And y'all could never take control of the game. Y'all never really took control of the game. It was always Arizona. Even when y'all came back and tied it, and you took a brief 2-point lead at one point. But nobody really thought y'all took control of the game. It was all Arizona. It was all Arizona. Villanova, I want y'all in the contenders. I'm putting y'all in the on the line spot. Because I'm trying to see. Because I knew y'all were gonna lose to UConn. I just had that feeling. But I want to see what this success sustainable. Yeah, different coach. It's not Jay White. I think it's the second or third year with this new coach. Are y'all really finding y'all stride? Are y'all really finding who y'all are? Are y'all finding y'all identity this year? And it's time to take the next step. Or y'all probably a year away from taking the next step. Miami, up and down. Good some games, bad some games. I don't mean good as in, oh, they win some, they lose some. Everybody does that. No, you look good in some games, and you look terrible in some games. So we need to find a middle ground here. In Arkansas, same thing. You can look great against top-notch teams, and then you have them games when it's like, John, what are you doing? What are you doing with the Razorbacks right about now? What we got going on here, man? So I got y'all on the line. Y'all still need to prove some stuff. But you don't see Kansas in here, right? Because I didn't put a spot for Kansas yet. Let's go into it. What does Kansas look like? The Kansas Jayhawks. After this weekend, the Kansas Jayhawks, they are 20-7 overall, 10-4 in the Big 12, and they have a net ranking of 18. All right. As we continue on here, they are currently ranked 4th, 10th in the AP polls after that loss to Cincinnati by 16. They are tied for 3rd in the Big 12 currently. They score almost 77 points per game. They give up close to 69 points per game. You're talking about 8-point difference there. They have a defensive rating that's 101.8. They have an offensive rating of 114.8. So they are plus 12, close to 13 in that department as well. Now, this is pretty good. This is good. It's not terrible. It's good. It's good. You want to be on the plus side of those. You're also on the plus side of that, but plus 8 points differential. That's a little shaky, man. That means you can be had. And it's been proven that you can be had. You already lost 7 games this year. You can be had. You got drilled by 16 by Cincinnati, which I'm going to keep harping on, by the way. 14-6 in quad 1 and quad 2 games. 5-4 on the road. 3-1 in neutral site. Key wins. They got a big non-conference win against Tennessee, 81-76. They got a Big 12 win early in the Big 12 schedule over Iowa State, 82-63, and then at Texas Tech, 64-61. Currently, they are sitting in the 3 spot on ESPN. Currently, the 2 spot on ESPN and then the 3 spot on CBS Sports Network. I think that's going to change after that upset loss to Cincinnati dramatically. But you have a game tonight on ESPN against Houston. That'll be coming back up. And then next Saturday, with College Game Day in town in Tucson, Arizona, against the Wildcats on Saturday. Those 2 games can be proved mighty vitally about the Kansas Jayhawks and what they got going on. Unfortunately for Kansas, they have this situation with Darren Peterson where its low management has trickled down to college basketball now. So that's been an interesting topic going back and forth. They have won games without him. They have won games with him. They have lost games without him. And they have lost games with him. Saturday, he played, I think he played like 35 minutes Saturday in that 16-point drubbing that they took to Cincinnati out of all teams. But on average, he's playing 27 minutes. So it's like, okay, so you can only play 7 minutes a half. You can play one full half and only 7 minutes worth. So that got a lot of people questioning what Mr. Peterson is trying to do here. My question is this thing with Darren Peterson affecting the rest of the team? Because he's a talented freshman. He's very talented. He can go to the NBA, but are you doing yourself and the Kansas Jayhawks a disservice by playing, pulling yourself out? Playing this game, not playing that game. Are you doing the team a disservice? Are you doing yourself a disservice? I'm not saying if he is or not. I'm just throwing the questions out there. There's been a lot of opinions about this man already. I don't need to pile on this man. This man is he is a freshman. He's trying to figure things out. Bill Self, I blame you for this, by the way. I can't call you out. You a Hall of Fame coach. You a championship coach. You should know what to do and what not to do when it comes to players like him. It's simple. Can you play for us and can you play meaningful games? Or do you want to go ahead and focus on getting to the NBA? But Bill Self, I don't know what you're doing, man. Bill Self, you've been slipping lately, man. I don't think a lot of people has called you out, but let me be the first to call you. Bill Self, you've been slipping lately, man. You have not been producing the same Kansas Jayhawks team that we are used, that we are accustomed to seeing year in and year out. You've been slipping lately, man. I need to call you out on that. Maybe somebody else can call you out. But I got to call you out, man. You've been slipping lately. I don't know what's going on, but you've been slipping lately, Bill Self. You've been slipping. I don't know. Is the mess getting stale up there in Lawrenceville? Is it getting stale over there? Do we need? Is it time to change another guard here? Or something? Can't really say that you was ranked in the top 10 until you got your ass beat by Cincinnati. Just saying. But something's off. Kansas is not Kansas. When you see Kansas, there's no fear of, ooh, we got to deal with the Jayhawks. That's a blue blood, but nobody is treating them like a blue blood. That's my point. You're not being treated like a blue blood. Nobody looks at you and they say, oh, we got to go against Kansas today. All right, we got to strap up the slinkers a little more title. They ain't doing that. They just looking at, okay. No, but this just a team. Yeah, they got Kansas on their shirt. And then we understand the history. We understand the prestige that is Kansas. But this team doesn't resemble none of that. So we ain't scared of them. Same thing when I said about Kentucky, man. People are not scared of Kentucky no more. Yeah, it's Kentucky on their shirt, but they look like that's, man. That's not the Kentucky team that you're afraid of. They got Kentucky on their shirt, but man, we can handle them. We can't worm with them. Hey, come on, man. As Auburn, who knocked off Kentucky, by the way. These other teams, they ain't scared of y'all no more. There's no fear factor no more to a Kansas, to a Kentucky anymore. So, Bill Self, what is going on? What you going to do, man? But that being said, though, I got to put y'all on the line, man. I got to. I got to figure out what's going on with Darren Peterson. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? We're going to do lowest management. I don't know what we're doing. But you have a resume that shows that you can beat just about anybody going into the Elite Eight. And then you get your ass whooped because you're not. We don't know what Kansas team we got going on here. But I got to put you on line because you are capable of getting to the Elite Eight. Capable of a sweet 16 appearance. But we don't know what type of Kansas team is going to show up when March happens. So I got to put you on the line. I can't say you're a pretender because I know what you're capable of. I know you can beat the teams that can get you to the Elite Eight. But I can't make you a contender because I don't know which Kansas team is going to show up at any given game. I mean, last year you got knocked out in what, around the 32 by Arkansas? Last year? I don't know. Maybe I need to hit the 6-7 on this one because I don't know. I don't know what team I'm going to. I don't know what team I'm going to get in March. And based on what happened this past weekend, there's a most people probably say you might be contenders. mean pretenders, because you just got beat by Cincinnati. Cincinnati's nowhere near close to making the tournament. And they just didn't beat you. They beat you down in your own building by 16. So we don't know Kansas. We don't know Bill Self. You got to put you on the line for now. I don't know. You got a big game tonight. You got a big game Saturday. Maybe when I come back next week, maybe I might feel a little different. Maybe I might have a defensive answer after these two games that you got coming up. But right now, you're on the line. Can't say you're a pretender because I know what you're capable of. I seen it. I watched it. I see the resume. And then I can't say you're a contender because you can be any type of Kansas team any type of day. The Kansas team that looks like a contender and the Kansas team that just get beats by an unranked team out of nowhere. So, you got two games. You got Houston tonight. You got Arizona Saturday. See how you do in those two games? I can come back with a more definitive answer next week if I choose to. So, there you go. Here's your updated graphic. Kansas is on the line. We'll figure out if they slide over to the contender spot or they slide over to the pretender spot. We'll see what happens. I'll probably make some adjustments next week. Okay? That's the men's side. Let's go to the ladies. Stay in the Big 12. This is what we have for the Big 12 for the ladies' side thus far. Contenders on the ladies' side, UConn, UCLA, South Carolina, Texas, LSU, Ohio State, Duke, Michigan, and Ole Miss. On the line side, the pretender side, teams that I think, they had great seasons, but I don't think they can make it to the Elite Eight. Kentucky, Georgia, Oklahoma, West Virginia, Texas Tech, Iowa State, Colorado, Oklahoma State, Virginia Tech, and Arizona State. On the line with time to prove it. Iowa, Tennessee, Michigan State, North Carolina, Alabama, Vanderbilt, Villanova, and Minnesota. What you don't see on this, the team we're going to talk about now. Standing in the Big 12, we're going to the TCU Lady Horned Frogs here, ladies and gentlemen. The Lady Horned Frogs of TCU, 25-4 overall, 13-3 in the Big 12. They have a net ranking of 11. Okay. They are currently ranked 11 in the new AP poll. They are number one in the Big 12 currently. A team that's just under 80 points per game and a team that gives up 56 points per game. That's almost a 20-point difference. I mean, Disney does not winning games. They are thrashing teams. They are beating teams down. They are letting teams know that when you come play the Horned Frogs, you need to come with your A game and not your B game. That might give you a little hint of where I'm going with this team. Defensive rating 79.4. Whew, Lord have mercy. They lock it. TCU, they lock it down. And then their offensive rating 112.6. That's a ridiculous offensive defensive ratio right there. That is ridiculous. Whew, these girls are something else. 8-3 in quad one and quad two victories, 6-3 on the road, 2-1 on neutral site. Key wins at Baylor when they was ranked 12th, 83-67. A home win versus the 19th ranked West Virginia Mountaineers just this past week, 59-50. They have an upcoming game. Last game of the season for them, their last key game is their last game of the season, March 1st, this Sunday, when they host Baylor. In round two of that matchup, they're projected a 3 seed to Charlie Crean's ESPN Bracketology right now. These ladies here, they have Olivia Miles, who's doing her thing quietly, by the way. She's quietly doing her thing. I think she's averaging like 21 points per game. I think like seven assists per game. Let me make sure my numbers are correct here. So let me go check my numbers for Olivia Miles, because hey, TCU, they lock it down, man. I cannot discredit what these ladies are doing. These ladies are ready. They have a great coach. They understand their assignments. They understand their roles. And when they own one, it can be tough to knock them off. It can be real tough to knock them off. I mean, they did take one to the face to Ohio State. I remember that game. That was the Coretta Scott game out in New Jersey. They did take one to that. They did take an L to Texas Tech. I know that. They did take a surprising loss to Colorado, but they can be had. I'm not saying they can't be had. They can be had. Without a doubt, they can be had. But the way this team roll, the way this team is, this team, they can lock it down if they need to. Olivia Miles, he's scoring 20.3 points per game. She's also the leading assist person with 6.6 assists per game. She's shooting 49.6% from the field. I mean, Olivia Miles, she's doing her thing quietly for the Horned Frogs. She's not in the spotlight. That's probably why she left Notre Dame. Not that I'm thinking about it. She didn't want to be in the spotlight like that. She wanted to just play her game, play in a quiet manner, and let the results speak for themselves. So you got that. You have Montez Sewers giving you 16.5 points per game, 6.9 rebounds a game, okay? So you have a nice guard forward duo to the crown, and then you need a third scorer. Daviana Hunter, another guard, giving you 11, almost 12 points per game. So you have three players. You're talking 20, 16, 12. So we're looking at what? 48 points between the three. Hey, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. You're spreading out the scoring, spreading out the rebounding. So it's pretty straightforward. If you know where I'm leading it, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, these guys are contenders. They can make it to the Elite Eight. They can make it to the Elite Eight. And once you make the Elite Eight, all bets are off. And this team is capable of making it to the Elite Eight. They have great coaching. They have smart players. They have a floor general in Olivia Miles, who can also put the ball in the bucket like anybody else. They have a chance. They have a legit shot of being Elite Eight team. They can make the Elite Eight, and then all bets are off. LSU, Texas, South Carolina, Ohio State, who already beat them. They always meet again. I like TCU chances in that one. You know, just they have opportunity. They really do. So do not sleep on the Horned Frogs because they're quiet. They ain't making noises. They're number one in the Big 12. Quietly number one in the Big 12. Quietly ranked 11. Just outside the top 10. Don't sleep on TCU. Hey, them girls can play. Don't get it twisted. They are contenders. And as you can see here, is the updated version of it. But that is not the updated version because I'm making an adjustment here. You see the Iowa Hawkeyes, ladies and gentlemen, in the on the line slot. We're going to take them. We're going to move them to the contender spot. Because after that win against Michigan and the way that they beat, it's not the fact they beat Michigan, it's the way they beat Michigan. That lets me know that team will play tough with anybody. And they have a shot to be Elite Eight team. So we're going to take Iowa. We're going to put them over here in the contender spot. Then we're going to take Tennessee. We're going to take the Lady Volunteers. And I'm being so serious when I do this. I'm not joking. I'm not playing. I'm not trolling. I'm not doing none of that. They are pretenders. You lost 7-9. This team can't get out of their own way. So you no longer are contenders. You're not even on the line. You are pretenders. This team cannot contend with the big ladies that's in the contender spot. You can't compete with the UConns. You can't compete with the UCLA. You can't compete with South Carolina. And we know you can't compete with the South Carolinas because you got your ass on national television about South Carolina and everybody watching. You can't compete with Texas. You had a chance to beat Texas, but you too busy getting in your own way and Texas escaped Nashville with a dub. You can't contend with LSU. LSU beat the brakes off you. You can't contend with Ohio State. You can't contend with Duke. You can't contend with Michigan. You can't contend with Ole Miss. You can't contend with TCU. You can't contend with Iowa because you don't know how to get out of your own way. So you're pretenders. So when this show happens next week and I show the updated version, you will see Iowa in the contender spot. You will see Tennessee in the pretender spot. They're not ready. They're just not ready. That's the way I have to put it. They're not ready. So with that being said, that is the fourth edition of Contender or Pretender. The Kansas Jayhawk men and the TCU ladies with the theme being the surge test. Late season momentum can make teams dangerous, but inconsistency can expose contenders just as fast. We are asking whether we see trends or signs of growth or warning signs before March. All right, we're going to take one final commercial break here. Thank y'all for sticking with me today as I'm running solo today and might be running solo for the next couple of weeks. But one final break, then when we come back, the games to watch for the week ahead in the game of basketball.
Cool McCain.
You thought you wanted Gunther against Chad Gable, but you didn't. And I'm going to tell you why. Chad Gable would take everything that Gunther's done and bury it.
The Playmaker.
It was on sight. AJ Styles walked out there seeing LA Knight. Oh, okay. Man, LA Knight hopped out the car. Let's go. Yeah!
Break down everything in TNA, AEW, and all of the WWE programming. Join these two kings, Monarchs of Wrestling, live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Central on the Play Caller Sports Talk YouTube channel.
All right, welcome back. Yes, in about 6:30, so less than an hour and a half from now, myself and Cool McCain bring you another edition of Monarchs of Wrestling. The road to WrestleMania continues as the road to Elimination Chamber continues, and that elimination card is filling up. The participants in the chamber are filling up, which the chamber coming up this weekend, this Saturday, on the 28th. This should be a fun one. Trying to see, we'll also be talking about what could be possibly going down tonight on Monday Night Raw with Liv Morgan making her pick. I believe, and everybody should believe, should be one way. But lately, Triple H has decided to pull some upsets and do some things that's not predictable. So we should see where this goes at. But 6:30 tonight, Playmakers Network YouTube channel, Real Play Caller Sports Talk YouTube channel for Monarchs of Wrestling, 6:30. Tune in. Check myself and Kuma Kane out. Get you ready as we are on the road to the WrestleMania. Speaking of on the road, let's get you out of here with the games you need to watch for this week coming up. Starting tonight in the college ranks, you already know. 24th ranked Louisville Cardinals, they are in Chapel Hill to take on the 18th ranked North Carolina Tar Heels, 7 p.m. ESPN. Following that game, it's the aforementioned. The 14th ranked Kansas Jayhawks hosting the 5th ranked Houston Cougars, 9 p.m. right after Louisville, North Carolina. Shout out to Snowman and the Snowman Multimedia crew. He be doing alternate play-by-play. Let's go to Snowman Multimedia YouTube channel if you want to listen to the alternate play-by-play. That's tonight. Tomorrow, on the men's side, NC State, they are in Charlottesville, Virginia to take on the 11th ranked Cavaliers of Virginia, 7 p.m. on the ACC network. 11 p.m. ESPN 2. UCF, who is flirting on the bubble line. They are in currently, but they're flirting on the bubble line. Can they go to Provo and get a much needed solidified tournament win against the 19th ranked Cougars of BYU? That is 11 p.m. ESPN 2. Wednesday on the 25th. Don't look now, ladies and gentlemen, but the reigning defending champs, they are back in the top 10. The Florida Gators are ranked 7th. They are heading to Nashville to take on the Texas Longhorns, 7 p.m. ESPN 2. 7 p.m. on the NBC Sports Network and Peacock. The UConn Huskies, the 6th-ranked UConn Huskies, they are hosting the 15th-ranked St. John's Red Storm. A big one to watch if you're a Big East fan. A big one to watch if you're a basketball fan. Rick Pitino versus Dan Hurley. Red Storm versus UConn. Battle for the Big East. You can't miss that one. 7 p.m. on the SEC Network, Georgia. They are in Nashville, Tennessee, to take on the 25th ranked Vanderbilt Commodores, who have been on the slide just a bit late after a great start. They've been slipping a bit. Can the Commodores get back on a winning path? And can Georgia get themselves a much signature win to solidify their spot in the NCAA tournament? And then at 9 p.m. on ESPN2 after Florida, Texas, you have the Texas A&M Aggies. They are in Fayetteville to take on the 20th ranked Arkansas Razorbacks, 9 p.m. ESPN2. A win here for Arkansas is much needed before they head to Gainesville to take on the Florida Gators this Saturday. Oh, I should take that back. College game day would not be in Tucson, Arizona for Kansas and Arizona. They would be in Gainesville for Florida and Arkansas. I just remembered that. Game day is coming to Gainesville. A trip that I would like to make, but I won't be making. But nevertheless, I hope Reese Davis, Jay Will, Coach Sel Greenberg, and the lovely, and I do mean lovely, Andrea Carter, y'all enjoy Gainesville. Enjoy the atmosphere. And Florida, handle your business Wednesday first, and then we'll focus on Saturday when John Calipari comes into town. We get to welcome back John Calipari to the Odo. Come on back, man. You've been here a lot of times when you with your stint at Kentucky. So come on back for one more time so we can whoop that ass. Now back to the mission at hand. A&M, Arkansas, 9 p.m. ESPN 2. Then Thursday, 13-ranked Michigan State Spartans. They are in West Lafayette, Indiana to take on the 8th-ranked Purdue Boilermakers, 8 p.m. on the Peacock. There's a lot of games. There's a lot of good games for you to watch this weekend on the men's side. It's getting close to tournament time. It's getting close to conference tournament play. You lock in low and watch these teams go at it. You want to have a good feel of who you like going into March Madness. That's the men's. Let's go to the ladies' side. Tomorrow, big one, big bubble game in the Big 12. Utah in Boulder, Colorado to take on the Colorado Buffaloes, 9 p.m. ESPN Plus. Wednesday on the 25th. The 20th-ranked Texas Tech Red Raiders, the ladies, they are trying to get themselves off the mat as they go to Lawrenceville to take on the Kansas Jayhawks, 7:30 ESPN Plus. And then Wednesday, 8 p.m. on the Peacock, big one in the Big Ten. The 8th-ranked River Marines of Michigan coming off that loss to Iowa. They want to pick themselves up, but they have to go to their arch rivals. The 13th-ranked Ohio State Buckeyes. 8 p.m. on the Peacock. I will be locked in order for that game. I'll be watching that game. I know we got St. John's and UConn on Peacock at an hour earlier, but I will be locked in on Michigan and Ohio State because that's a game I need to see. I want to see how Michigan bounced back on that loss to Iowa. And I want to see Ohio State. I want to see that defensive identity that Ohio State plays with is still in effect when their arch rivals comes to Columbus. Then Thursday on the 26th, you have the Florida Gators, the Lady Gators, who are holding on for dear life. My Lady Gators are literally holding on for dear life. A win over 19-ranked Ole Miss will go a long way for my Lady Gators. But if a loss to Ole Miss, that should be the end of the Florida Gators on the women's side. Let's keep in the book. Speaking of keeping the buck, 6 p.m. on ESPN. The struggling Tennessee Lady Volunteers. They are in Baton Rouge to see the 6th-ranked Tigers of LSU. If LSU won these girls at the gym, but it's quite possible, Tennessee's done. They'll make the tournament, but they're done. Nobody fears Tennessee. You know what I said about the Kansas Jayhawk men and the Kentucky men, that they can see the name on the jersey, but they're not afraid of them. That's what they're doing in Tennessee. They look at Tennessee like, who is y'all? See, y'all not Pat Summit. Y'all not Candace Parker. Y'all not Andrea Carter. Who are y'all? Y'all ain't nobody. We ain't scared of y'all. So LSU might run them out of Baton Rouge by halftime. It is quite possible. I think Tennessee's going to be cooked after this game. If this game goes the way that I think it's going to go, I think Tennessee's going to be cooked. I think they're done. 7 p.m. on the ACC Extra, the 21st-ranked North Carolina Tar Heels. They are in Charlottesville to take on the Cavaliers of Virginia. Interesting game right there. Big East game that if you're a Big East fan on the ladies' side, you want to look at somebody else outside of UConn that can be possible for a good tournament run. This is the game for you. 7 p.m. on the Peacock. Villanova taking on Seton Hall. That should be one. If you're a Big East fan, you're trying to find somebody else outside of UConn that can probably make some noise in the tournament. That's the game you need to watch. 7 p.m. on the SEC Plus, Alabama, the 24th-ranked Crimson Tide. They are in Nashville, Tennessee, to take on the 5th-ranked Vanderbilt Commodores. 9 p.m. on the Big Ten Network, Illinois. They are in Iowa City to take on the 9th-ranked Iowa Hawkeyes. Good luck to the Fighting Illini. Have fun in Iowa City. Because them Lady Hawkeyes, they are not playing around. And then 10 p.m. on the SEC Network, the 23rd-ranked Bulldogs of Georgia, they are in Austin, Texas, to take on the 4th-ranked Texas Longhorns. That looked very impressive in their last game for once. Can they continue that role when the Georgia Bulldogs come running to town? Can Texas continue that dominance and show they should be a number one seed in here when Selection Sunday happens? Because they're fighting with Vanderbilt for that last number one seed. I'm telling you this right now. The three number one seeds are already locked down. UConn, UCLA, South Carolina. Vanderbilt, LSU, and Texas are fighting for that last number one seed. So that's the ladies' side of the college ranks. We're going to the professional ranks of the NBA. Tonight, we have a doubleheader on the Peacock at 7 p.m. It is the San Antonio Spurs taking on the Detroit Pistons. Two of the top three teams in the NBA going there. The second best team in the West, the San Antonio Spurs, and the number one team in the East, the Detroit Pistons. Should be a fun one to watch. And then 9:30 p.m. after Spurs Pistons, you have the Utah Jazz in Houston to take on the Rockets. This should be an interesting. I wouldn't say how the viewership, but this one goes because you have a tanking team in the Utah Jazz and you have a team that's up and down in the Houston Rockets. That should be fun. That's today. Tomorrow, Coast to Coast is back. But the Olympics are finally done. Shout out to Team USA for winning gold in hockey, men's and women's, beating Canada. Shout out to y'all. Coast to Coast is back. First game, 7:30 p.m. The New York Knicks, they are in Cleveland to take on the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then at 10 p.m., the Minnesota Timberwolves, they are in Portland to take on the Portland Trailblazers. Should be fun to watch. ESPN Wednesday. The Oklahoma City Thunder, they take the trip to the Motor City to take on the Detroit Pistons at 7:30. And then the Boston Celtics continue their West Coast trip when they visit the Denver Nuggets in the Mile High City. Inside the NBA, we get you started at 7 p.m. And they'll conclude after Celtics and Nuggets. So should be some entertainment from Ernie, Kenny, Charles, and Shaq on Wednesday. But that Pistons and Thunder game, man, I may have to catch that one. Top two teams in the NBA, the top team in the East, top team in the West in Detroit. I'm about to catch that one. I just might. And then Prime Video Thursday, which I didn't change the date. My bad. That'll be the 26th, not 19th. It's the Houston Rockets. Cole Johnson, Houston Rockets. They are in Orlando to take on my Orlando Magic at 7:30. Orlando, can you show me something, please? I ain't going to get on you this week. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to hold my tongue. But can you show me something on Thursday? Can you show me that you can beat the Houston Rockets? Please. And thank you. And then after that game, from Orlando, you fly out to Los Angeles, California, where the Los Angeles Clippers in the Intuit Dome will be hosting them Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves at 10 p.m. Ant-Man versus Kawhi Leonard as the nightcap. Pablo Banchero versus Kevin Durant to begin the night. Should be a fun thing. So there you have it. Those are the games for you to watch this week. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for watching. If you're watching on the Playmakers Network YouTube channel, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Hit the notification bell. If you're watching on my personal LinkedIn page, hit send me a connect. And also sign up to the Playmakers Network YouTube channel and hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. If you enjoy, if you want to listen to the podcast version, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and more, wherever you want to listen to podcasts is at, just search for Shooting Lights Out. Subscribe, follow. And then you can listen to us on the go. And shout out to the Real Rise Radio fan for listening to me live on the radio on today. Appreciate you. For the Playmaker Donna signing for a absent Cole Johnson. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for watching. We'll catch you next week for more Best Ball Talk here on Shooting Lights Out.
You've done good. You've done great. But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your camp.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N.